Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
It's time for another Financial Flight Plan podcast. Walter Storholt here with you alongside the great team at Estes Financial Services. It's Tim Estes and Bree Reyes with us on the podcast today. They are investor coaches serving you throughout the Metroplex and certified financial planners. They have an office in Fort Worth, and you can get in touch at any time by calling 817-444-8402 or by finding them online at estesfinancial.net. And you can also see us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well. It should be a fun podcast. Today we're talking about common spousal financial conflicts. What happens when spouses don't agree on financial issues and some of the common conflicts that arise? So I'm excited for this one. Should be an interesting debate, and I'm sure you guys have lots of good stories to tell us about how you've been able to help maybe solve some of these spousal conflicts that you've seen pop up in the past. So here's some of the common areas where we see these conflicts arise, and I'll be interested to see if you guys agree with these and then how you handle them. First of all, risk and safety. Men and women especially seem to view that topic a little bit differently. How much of our money should be at risk? How much should be in a safe place? Is that one of the common conflicts you see?
I tell you what I find is most times you have one spouse that is a real saver and you have one spouse that is the spender, and usually the spender is a lot more risky or ready to take on risk, and the saver doesn't want to take on the risk. And believe it or not, I've seen it pretty much 50-50 where the women are willing to take risk and the men are not. And conversely, where the men take the risk and the women don't want to take risks. So it's pretty evenly split is from what I've seen.
And there's definitely a spender and a saver in my marriage. I can speak to that personally.
Knowing Bree, I bet you I know which one is which. But we're not going to go there because we want to keep peace and harmony in the family and in the office.
Well, and it doesn't matter now with the kiddo. He's the spender at this point. We could consider that, right?
True. Nate is the spender in our family now. But there's a reason we keep tissues on our conference table, because a lot of times difficult financial discussions happen between spouses.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense, and is unfortunate that that comes up, but it's an interesting tidbit to know that, you know, these conflicts are not uncommon, and that it, you know, it's probably a healthy thing to get kind of everything on the table and begin these kinds of discussions, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easy. Another common spousal financial conflict we see are, you know, at what age is it going to make sense for us to retire? Husband might be ready to retire, right? But wife might be ready to you know, let him stay at work for a few more years. Do you see common disagreements there?
A fair amount of time we don't, believe it or not. When people get to the point where they're ready to retire, both spouses are pretty much in tune. However, there was one case where the wife was saying, I don't want him to retire. I love him, but having him around, that's twice as much husband for half as much pay. And I really just don't think it would work too well for the sanctity of our marriage to have him under my feet all day long, because they'd done some trial retirement where he had a whole bunch of vacation saved up. And so here he is, he's following her around the house going, well, what are you doing now? What's going on? And it just drove her insane. After about a month, she was ready to send him back to work. So it's things like that that need to be discussed. And then deciding when to retire, are you gonna, all the other issues that go with it, like when to take Social Security and things like that.
Or what about, I want to retire to the mountains and I want to retire to the beach. It's not necessarily when to retire, but what does the retirement picture look like for each of you, and have you ever discussed it?
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be. You're right about the date, but what does retirement actually look like for us going forward? And that is where a lot of disagreements can enter the picture. One wants to be active, the other not so much. How do you reach that middle ground or that compromise? Always kind of an interesting thing to navigate, because all that has an impact on exactly how you end up crafting the plan. And that's why we've got to be on the same page with all of these different conflicts that might arise. I would imagine that this one is pretty common for you as well. Some people want to leave as much money as possible behind to the kids. Others want to let the kids just kind of, you know, sink or swim on their own. Others have maybe just a modest goal of what they'd like to leave for the kids. But how does that conflict usually play out with sort of leaving a legacy to the youngins?
Well, it's always a conversation to have, is how much of a legacy do you want to leave the kids? Do you want to leave them enough that they don't have to work? Do you want to leave them enough that they have a good solid cushion? Do you want to leave them nothing? Do you want to spend your last dime, your last day, and move on? And that one spouse can be one way, the other spouse can be another. So it's another discussion we have to have.
I told my dad years and years before he passed away, I said, I want you to spend your last dime the day you take your last breath. I'm a big boy, and I can take care of myself. I don't need an inheritance. I don't necessarily want an inheritance. So if you spend all your money, that's great. That's what it's for. That's your money. You earned it. There are others that, you know, they want whatever mom or dad can provide. And so you have to not only work it out between the spouses, but you also have to work with the children to kind of provide them with an insight as to what they can expect come their parents' demise, if they are going to get an inheritance or not, and what they can expect. Because one kid may be expecting a big inheritance, and they haven't really been planning for their future because they expect an inheritance. And next thing you know, mommy and daddy have donated all their money to the church, and they're in trouble. So it's discussions that do need to be had in a family setting.
Well, it's not all or nothing. We don't need to turn them into millionaires or leave them destitute. There's middle ground, and that's a discussion to have. But we're looking at all spouses as if they're about to retire. Also, younger spouses, when you're getting married, I don't just recommend marriage counseling, which my husband and I went through before we got married, but we also had some financial counseling. We sat down and laid it all on the table. What debt do you have? What are your views on money?
Those are important conversations to have.
Exactly, because of the fact that money tends to be the number one issue in marriages.
I would add to this as well, in particular about the legacy planning, is whether you're leaving money behind for that next generation or not, it isn't really even the point here. It's more so that the expectations are fulfilled, because nothing can cause family strife. You talk about a conflict that then devolves beyond just, you know, husband and wife, but then affects the entire family structure. You know, is leaving a legacy? Is someone passing away without a clearly communicated plan? And that can just cause a lot of problems. I'm sure we all have a story about how that's happened in some segment of our family. Some of us may be closer to it than others, but everybody knows at least one story, I would venture to guess, where there's been that kind of issue where a legacy wasn't properly handled. And, you know, somebody's thinking they're getting that big inheritance and then it doesn't come through, or maybe it's vice versa. It can even be from the positive standpoint of they weren't expecting an inheritance at all, and then they did get one and now are unprepared for it, don't know what to do with those funds. That's kind of a good problem to have for that particular person, but it is still a problem that needs to be addressed and solved. So that's a huge financial conflict that needs resolution. How much money do you want to leave behind to the kids? No matter if the answer is large or small or none, it's a part of the plan that really does need to be addressed. Now, our next item on the list for common spousal financial conflicts goes back to what you addressed a few moments ago, Bree, in terms of how retirement is actually going to look for us. And one of the major pieces of conversation that come up when you start going down that road, especially when you look beyond just the first few years of retirement, In fact, my grandparents are going through this currently. They're trying to decide, do we stay in our, you know, small three-story condo in Maine, or do we finally downsize, move closer to, you know, one of our kids down in Pennsylvania and get a single-story home and, you know, kind of change our lifestyle up a lot. So downsizing to a smaller home or stay where we are, kind of the where and what kind of home we're going to live in becomes a big part of the conversation.
Oh, boy, does it. I'll tell you my personal experience. And I know Julie, my lovely bride of 27 years, is probably going to be listening to this podcast. But you know, I think it's important that even financial advisors and financial planners have these discussions with their significant other or their spouse. I've been wanting to downsize from our home into a condo in downtown Fort Worth. I've wanted to do that for years. And she has dug her heels in, not wanting to do it. And so, as we all know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy around the house, to use a Texasism, or happy life, happy wife. So we've decided to stay where we are at our house out on Eagle Mountain Lake. But I would have loved to have downsized and gone into a little condo and had the condo living experience and not have to worry about the yard or have to worry about the pool or have to worry about any of the things that comes from owning a big house like we do. So even financial advisors have these conflicts. And it wasn't really a conflict. It's just been a ongoing discussion. And because I do love my wife and she's very happy where we are and I'm happy where we are too, we've decided that we're just going to stay there in our house on Eagle Mountain Lake.
Well, and the new puppy probably prefers the yard.
Yeah, we got a new puppy. And so Bella, the sweetheart dog that I love, is very happy to run around in the backyard and play and frolic and chew on sticks and everything. So having to walk a dog 3 to 4 times a day because we're in a condo probably is not something that I would be wanting to do. So we're staying put.
It's a great example of how that conversation takes place and you get on the same page, everybody's happy. It's hugely important to make sure that you're resolving these conflicts that pop up, but don't be afraid to have them. Know that everybody goes through these kinds of things. One last nugget here, and this again kind of resonates with what you were talking about, Bree, about, you know, what's retirement going to look like, but viewing it from the angle of what are we going to do with our time? What is the true dream or ideal retirement look like? It also goes back to what you talked about on a previous podcast about sort of that vision of retirement that you help people kind of uncover and then use that to drive the actual financial planning. So what does it look like when spouses disagree with exactly how they're going to spend that time and what their ideal retirements look like?
Oh, this is a conversation that needs to have happened long, long, long before retirement even is on the horizon. I've got a client that his whole issue in retirement was he wanted to retire, buy a big motorhome, and drive across the country and see the great country that we live in and drive around the United States. And so he retires, says, okay, let's go look at motorhomes. And his wife goes, you can go look all you want. I'm not doing that. And they had never talked about it. She says, I have no desire to do that. I have no desire at all to go traveling around like that. I'm quite happy and content here. The kids are here. The grandkids are here. If you want to do that, knock yourself out, but you're going without me. And so his entire retirement dream was basically crushed in a conversation that should have happened probably 10 years earlier.
And this goes to that financial counseling that I was talking about earlier that you need to do before marriage, premarital, and then continuously through your marriage. They're uncomfortable conversations to have about your financial future sometimes because you're not always going to be on the same page. But it's important to have them so you don't end up in retirement with two completely different goals. And believe it or not, there's only so much Judge Judy and daytime TV you can watch before you want to do something.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. So to wrap up the podcast today, if you have someone in your office, they're having these disagreements, you know, these spousal conflicts pop up, what do you guys do? What's your role in navigating these conversations? Do you just sit back? Do you help take an active role in, you know, finding those middle grounds and facilitating the conversations? How do you help people get on the same page?
Well, we are not licensed therapists, but we do have enough psychology training and training as far as mediating conflicts like that, where it's not all black and white. Life is not black and white. So we look to see if they can compromise and if there's somewhere to meet in the middle. If it is too deep of a problem or too deep of an issue, we do have referral sources that that we can send people to for, you know, family and marriage counseling, and it may require that. Usually it doesn't, but every once in a while it does, and we'll refer to a family marriage counselor and let them talk it out with a licensed therapist. But I've found that if we're there, we can kind of soften the issues and get people to talk and to compromise. Now, in the example I used before, there was no way in heck that she was getting in a motorhome and driving across the country. That just wasn't happening. So that was the end of the story on that one. But most times you can get people to compromise or to, well, instead of traveling all the time, maybe we travel 3 months out of the year. And that would fill the void for one spouse, and it would be a compromise from the other spouse. But those kind of things come up, and we can make that suggestion to smooth things over.
Most times just having somebody who's not neutral third parties, I guess, to kind of talk through issues with. Most times we don't actually do the talking. They do the talking. We just sit there and let them talk through it.
Yeah, and it's helpful. Sometimes that's just all that needs to happen, is the forum for those conversations to take place needs to be created, and sometimes that just might be in your office, and that in and of itself is very helpful. But then, of course, you help with the next steps as well of, all right, now we're on the same page with what we want out of retirement, with some of these issues that have arisen. Now we can develop the plan to fit around, and that is obviously going to be the correct answer that gets you to the retirement that you want to have. And if you have some of these spousal disagreements taking place, or you haven't had the conversations to even get to the disagreements yet, to the conflicts, don't be scared of them. They'll be healthy to have. They'll be good to get on the same page. And so if you need some assistance, you need that forum to be created for you to have that conversation with your spouse, come in. Meet with the team at Estes Financial Services. 817-444-8402 is the number to call. That's 817-444-8402, and always online at estesfinancial.net. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher as well. Coming up on the next podcast, we're going to be talking about some of the common planning complaints that we often hear, and how maybe you might have some of these complaints as well. But here's the question: are they really legitimate complaints, or maybe you're just focusing on the wrong thing? We'll challenge some of that thinking coming up on the next podcast. So be sure to join us right back here on the Financial Flight Plan.
Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.